your prayers tonight. I want to turn to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. I guess if there's a chapter in the Bible that folks have some familiarity with, it would be Psalm 23. But you know, sometimes the more familiar we get with something, the more we take it for granted. So tonight I want to just go through the psalm and just remind ourselves why it's so precious. Of course, we know why it's so precious, because it's speaking about our Lord. And it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, you know, I guess we should all try to picture ourselves, take that analogy and take that lesson and just imagine ourselves as being a sheep, one of God's sheep. You know, the Bible's full of references to where God's people are referred to as his sheep or the sheep of his pasture. Various ways that analogy is used for us. So if we think about the fact that he is our shepherd, I remember one time taking that first phrase and just emphasizing each word. The Lord. Not a Lord, but the Lord. There's only one.
That's right.
The one true and living God. If you're blessed to know him, and if you're blessed to rejoice in him tonight, then he has had mercy upon your soul. He has blessed you with his spirit to know him, because as the Lord told Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Now you may have had flesh and blood told it to you a number of times, but the revelation in the heart, the understanding of who he is by the grace of God, isn't it? We don't have anything to boast of, but bless your hearts, we can thank the Lord every day of our lives that he's blessed us to know him.
Amen.
The Lord.
Yeah.
Now he's our Lord.
Right.
You know, Jesus said on one occasion, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" If he's Lord, he's worthy that we hear him and follow him and obey him. But we don't have to worry about our Lord. Our Lord is good and holy and righteous and loving and kind and merciful, gentle. Oh yes, he's all powerful. But there's no way we can imagine having a better shepherd than our Lord. The Lord's my shepherd. Aren't you thankful that you can say that? He's my shepherd. You know, if we didn't know that, he would still be all that he is. But he's blessed us with that hope that he's our. He's my shepherd. I tell you, I hope we just think about that every day and just rejoice in it for a while. The fact that he has revealed himself to us, that he's given us eternal life, he's given us a hope in Christ, that he's given us all that we have, my shepherd. He says, "My shepherd." You know, not every time that God's people are referred to as sheep, not every time is that complimentary. But it does refer to us as, I mean, it represents us as helpless, defenseless, in need. And that's such a wonderful description, isn't it? that the Lord is our shepherd. He's our provider. He guides. He protects. I mean, this is, I guess this has been preached many, many, many times and will continue to be preached many, many, many times until Jesus comes again. But I hope that every day we can rejoice that we know that He is our shepherd. Now, you've probably seen those a meme or whatever, a picture that would put one word with each phrase here. You know, and what I've seen most often is relationship, as far as this, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, He is. But what a wonderful thing that we can go into the scriptures and understand just how that relationship came about. Just like I said, when the Lord told Peter, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. All right? So as far as us knowing these things, having that knowledge within us, then bless your hearts, it has to be by the Spirit of God. Regeneration. But the Word of God tells us that that relationship happened a long, long time ago. Now, just for just a moment, you probably already have done this today, but if you haven't, just take a moment to thank the Lord that He's blessed us to know that He's the one that established this relationship. We can lie down at night rejoicing in the truth of God's Word. You know, Sister Nancy and I, we both knew I think Sister Dolores knew her too, a lady over in Ozark. I tell you, she was one of the sweetest people you'd ever want to meet. But I don't know how many times I witnessed she was just in such a turmoil because she was worried that a certain person hadn't accepted the Lord. And they might not go to heaven because something they had not done. Brethren, let's rejoice in the fact that God has taken care of that for all of His people, that not one of His sheep are going to miss out in heaven because of something they didn't do. But God chose His people in Christ. Isn't that what Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's too late for you to do anything about that. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And everything about this tonight, we have to see it in the sense of God's love for His people. You know, Old Testament Israel, what is Deuteronomy 7, I believe it is, says, the Lord did not choose you because you were the greatest in number, for you were the fewest. And when we understand what that really means is, without God intervening by His power, there wouldn't have been any of the children of Israel. But He said He loved you, He chose you because He loved you. And isn't that what the second chapter of Ephesians says? God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. So His love, His mercy, His grace, all of these things we can rejoice in because God chose His people before the foundation. He established that relationship. Not only did He establish that relationship, but bless your hearts, He sends His Spirit to us sometime here in this life that makes us to be aware of it. God could have done these things and never told us about it, but He's blessed us with His Spirit quickened us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And so we're made, we're drawn into a vital relationship with him. And he, as our shepherd, he watches over. Now, he chose us before the foundation of the world. So don't you know that even perhaps before we were even born of the Spirit and blessed to know him, he was already watching over us. Isn't that wonderful? As our shepherd, his all-seeing eye is watching over us, providing for us, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Now, we're not robots, but certainly God watches over and provides for us. He daily loads us with benefits. And so he gives us each day our shepherd. Oh, I tell you, we can just rejoice. And we can rest each night when we understand the truth. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when we understand he's the one that establishes the relationship, he's the one that watches over, he's the one that provides for us. And then more of his word tells us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We can't be separated. Now that's where I can lie down at night and rest and thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want. Is there anything, now there's been times in our lives where there was things that we, as we use the word want, there's been things that we've wanted. Maybe we didn't get that. But as far as the needs that you have for your life, can you say that there's ever been a time when you didn't have what you needed in this life? Paul said to the brethren at Philippi, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The things that we stand in need of. And then earlier in that chapter, Paul had said, I've learned whatsoever state that I'm in, therewith to be content. So, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. David said in Psalm 37, I have been young, and now I'm old. Some of us can relate to what David is saying. Some of us are getting closer to that. But he says, I have been young. You know, when we're young and vigorous, we don't think about some of the things that we do later in life when our strength has diminished some. Yeah. Yeah. But David said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God provides. I shall not want. Oh, as we think about all that he is for us. Oh, there's times that we have trials. There's times that we have struggles. But God provides for his own. You know, sometimes in the Old Testament, you find the expression, the Lord of hosts. And one of those meanings of that Lord of hosts is a God of endless supply. And I like to think about that, don't you? It's mind-boggling to think of all of God's people and God watching over them at all times and providing for them at all times. Why, wow, that's mind-boggling, isn't it? You know, like I heard one time that, talking about how that God provides and cares for his people. It said, it made a comparison between the sun that holds all the planets in their orbit through those forces, all the things that the sun does, how it influences everything, you know, and this, not only this planet, but others as well. But all of that, think about what the sun does. But it also ripens a little bunch of grapes on the vine as if it had nothing else to do. And God is just so far beyond our comprehension. He can provide and supply for all of his people at all times, and it's not a problem for him whatsoever. And he can continue to do that as long as this life remains, and in heaven's pure world, without end, he'll continue to provide for us. I shall not want. Now, in that sense of realizing God will provide our needs, we ought to be able to rest in that every day we live. We ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your wonderful provisions that you give us each day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That sounds like rest to me, doesn't it? And it's green pastures. You know, it's not the barren land. It's not where there's stubble and nothing for grazing, but it's green. You know, that gives us the idea of lush and plentiful. And this idea of us not wanting because God supplies our needs. You know, the land of Canaan was referred to as the land that flowed with milk and honey. And I like the explanation someone gave one time about how, you know, a land flowing with milk, and not that it's just there, but it's flowing. Okay, the idea of abundance, the idea of great provision for life and sustaining us. Flowing with milk and honey. In other words, the livestock, the cattle, the sheep, and all that could graze to their content because there was an abundance of grass producing the milk that was needed. And then there was an abundance of foliage, the flowering plants, so that the bees could make the honey. You know, some of you probably know a lot more about this than I do, but I hear that, you know, the bee population has been really threatened in recent years. That has a whole lot more impact and consequences than just the production of honey. But anyway, a land that flowed with milk and honey. What a blessing. I mean, when God provides, he provides, doesn't he? I mean, it's not scarcity. It's not a scarce amount, but he provides in abundance. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, how refreshing that could be. Being led by the still waters. That also speaks of peace and tranquility. Isn't that important in life? To be at peace, tranquil. And I tell you, I can't think of any better tranquility than to rest in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. to rest in what he's done for, to rest in his love, to rest in all that he has done for us, to rest in the fact that he will continue to watch over and provide for us each day, to rest in him. How refreshing that is. And it says he leads us beside still waters. I don't know how many times throughout the years I've had people question about how can we know God's will? Well, one thing is to look for peace, to look for those still waters, to look for tranquility. I know there have been times in my life when I've been trying to figure out, you know, what I should do. And if I thought in one direction, it was very troubling. But the other direction, I found peace. Well, the Lord leads beside still waters. The Lord provides, or the Lord leads us in those ways where there's peace with him. And what a blessing that is. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Restoring. You ever needed restoring? Oh, I tell you, there's times when we feel like that we just need to come to God and beg for his help and his mercy and his blessings. What a blessing when we feel like the Lord has answered our prayers. Sometimes we pray for a long time for certain things. When we feel like the Lord has answered, what a blessing that is. He restores our soul. There's times when we're tired, we're weary. Maybe life has been hard. Maybe life's been a challenge. But we can go to God. And as Peter said, Peter said, casting all your care upon him. Was that James? That verse. Anyway, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Think about that. We can go to him for that refreshing, that restoration, what we need. He has the strength. He has the power. He has the wisdom. We don't. Bless your hearts. He has what we need. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I tell you, when we read the Word of God, we rejoice in his truths. We rejoice in those things which he has put in print for us. What a blessing that is, that he leads us in the paths of righteousness, realizing we don't have any righteousness of our own. We carry this old man around with us. This old sin nature bothers us at all times. But bless your hearts, we can go to the Lord. We can ask him for the strength and grace that we need each day. We can ask him for his spirit. You know, David, obviously, David was a man that had been quickened by the Spirit of God. I mean, it's very evident that he had the Spirit of God. He had the Lord with him, and the Lord was blessing him. But there were times in his writings, in what he was inspired to write, that he would say, quicken me. And you know, there's times that we need stirring up. There's times that we need encouraging. There's times that we go to the Lord and ask for his help and grace and the leadership of his Spirit. We need that. We need that on a regular basis. Oh, what a blessing it is when he does lead us. We feel like that we are blessed to see what he would have us to do. So he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He's the one who has all the answers. He's the one to receive all the glory when we do something that's right. Because he's the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we follow him in paths of righteousness. He's so gracious to us. He's so merciful to us. He helps us so many ways. And so that's why when Jesus told us to let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works, it's what the Lord has blessed us to do. And so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All glory belongs to him, right? You know, we've heard it said that God is generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. If he's blessed us to know him, if he's blessed us to understand those paths of righteousness, and bless your hearts, let's give him all the praise and honor and glory for leading us, for being merciful to us, and helping and providing for us as our loving shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That shepherd is there watching over his sheep, providing protection for those sheep. And our shepherd's able. You know, earthly shepherds sometimes get it right and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're able to provide the protection and sometimes they can't. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about our Lord. Our Lord can watch over us. Our Lord can provide the help, the protection that we need. I know calamities come in this life. Things happen. Bad things do happen to good folks. And there's times when we don't understand some things. But bless your hearts, we can trust in the Lord. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's times we're going to be fearful in this life. I mean, things happen that, at least for a little while, we may be fearful about what lies ahead. But the sooner we can remember our shepherd is watching over and he's able to provide for us, the sooner we can remember that, the better off we are. The sooner we can draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. Oh, as we think about how he, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, when we started out talking about this relationship that the Lord has established before the foundation of the world, when he chose out his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, when Romans 8 speaks about how that all things work together, and we understand the all things is not everything that happens, but the all things is contained there in those verses in Romans 8. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. See, not only did he choose us out, and he chose us in love. If we don't put love in the idea of the foreknowledge, we're missing the mark. He loved his people. He chose us in Christ. He foreknew. Now, I know there's a lot of people in the world today that speaks about God's foreknowledge as if God looked down through time. You know, I think they call it foreseen faith, that God looked down through time and he saw those that would accept him and those are the ones that he chose. Well, I like the distinction I heard one time. That would be selection and not election. God didn't see any virtue in us. He chose whom he would. And he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So yes, he foreknew his people. But you know, what is it? Psalm 14. When somebody might tell you, well, he looked down through time. And I heard that just recently. That he looked down through time and he knew who it was that was going to accept him. And so they're the ones that he chose. But Psalm 14 clears that up for us. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it didn't say he said in his mind. It's not because he's just confused or ill-informed. He said in his heart, there is no God. See, God works on the heart, doesn't he? God looks upon the heart. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now, that clearly says the Lord looked down from heaven. Well, now, time doesn't mean anything with the Lord. Don't you know that he when he took that look, that he would know the mind and the hearts of all of his children? Of all men? Yes, of all time. When he took that look. So he looked to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That covers it, doesn't it? And that altogether become filthy. The meaning there is it all at one time. So that points us to the fact that when Adam sinned, all of his posterity, they were separated, they died, they were separated from God. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned in Adam. It fell upon all of us at the same time. So, if we're dead in trespasses and sins, and separated from God, well, there's nothing that we can do, right? All right. But God loved us, sent his son to save us. He established that relationship. He maintains we are preserved in Christ. Nothing can separate us from him. So when we face that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever we have to face in this life, if we have the understanding that Jesus died for all of his people, that he put away our sins, that we're safe in the blood of Christ, that we can never be separated from that, whatever we have to face in this life, we're still covered by the blood. We're safe in the Lord. Whatever we have to face. And I tell you, you read church history and you find that there are many of God's people who've had to endure great affliction down through the generations. We've had it so easy. Oh, but bless your hearts. Whatever we have to face. I know that burdens oftentimes are very heavy. I've known people that every life or every breath they've ever breathed in their life, there's been a struggle. We've been delivered from that. But there are great and heavy burdens that people face in this life. Yet, the Word of God says, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. Not just to us, but he's going to change us fashion us like unto his glorious body, and take us home to be with him forever. In that place where there'll be no more sorrows, heartaches, troubles, all will be joy. You know, that's hard to fathom, isn't it? I rejoice in it because I know it's the truth, because it's God's word. But it's not something we've experienced. We've had a lot of joys in this life. We've had a lot of blessings. But there's always those troubles that come into the lives of God's people. Bless your hearts. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I suppose that's the greatest comfort that we can receive while we walk in this life, is to feel that the Lord is there with us. Isn't that what Jesus promised in John 14? When he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, we've not seen, at least I haven't, seen his bodily presence. But he was speaking there of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he would send to us, to be a help to us, to come alongside and render aid, to be there for us. So as David in the Old Testament, even though he didn't have the gospel that we have, yet in the Old Testament he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that's exactly what Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross. I'll not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless, that expression there, means he wouldn't leave us like orphans with nobody to take care of you. You know, that's a sad situation, isn't it? For someone to be in this life and be in need and don't have anybody to take care of them. But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. His bodily presence wouldn't be here, but his comfort, his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, our Advocate with the Father, all of those words have reference to this Comforter. I think the Greek word is paraclete, the one to come alongside and render aid for us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For us to, you know, old Jehoshaphat, that king, when a great multitude was coming against them, and it said Jehoshaphat feared. And there's times when things happen and we do fear. I'm not going to say we should, you know, to say that we'll never have any fears. You know, we might get some bad news sometime relating to our loved ones or maybe our own health or whatever the case might be. You're going to fear. But when we turn to the Lord, and Jehoshaphat set his face to seek the Lord, he feared, but he turned to the Lord. He said, Lord, the enemy cometh, and we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And the sooner we can come to that place when we are facing something ominous, the more blessing and comfort and grace that we receive to know that he's there with us. Well, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Just to remember this shepherd who loves us, who's providing for us, who has cared for us all the days of our lives. He's there for us whenever we need him. What a blessing that is. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I've read various things about this rod and staff. And understand that rod was something that was used to fight off the attacking animals and so forth. And if you stop and think about the testimony that David gave to Saul, when Saul said, you know, you're just a lad, you know, you're not able to go out against Goliath. And he began to tell Saul, there was a time while he was watching those sheep of his father, and a lion and a bear came out against them, had one of his sheep in their mouth, I believe it says. And he caught them, and he slew them. Now, it doesn't say that he used the rod, but that would be the way that the shepherd would typically defend himself or fight against those beasts. However it was, David was able to slay the lion and the bear. The staff, that crooked piece, I understand that was unique to the shepherd. That it wasn't any good or wasn't much good for other animals, but it worked well for sheep. Listen, the Lord has exactly what we need for him to take care of us. To know that he has the power, to know that he has the resources, that he's able, to know that the Lord knows everything that we need. Nothing escapes his eye. He's able to take care of us. I tell you, so many of these expressions, they're just restful to our heart and our mind. We think about how the Lord is able to provide. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I tell you, God's provision for us is not limited to circumstances. He provides a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, when it speaks about the presence of our enemies, you know as well as I do, we're living in a day where there's a lot of people in high places that are not really, I guess you'd say they're not really our friend. They have a different view of this world. They have a different view of what ought to be. They don't play by this rule book like we do. They don't live. They don't walk. They don't look to the Lord like we do according to the Word of God. And so there may be times when our mind drifts into those ideas of, well, what are we going to do if this happens, or if they take it to this extreme, or whatever. Bless your hearts, the best thing we can do is to realize that God is able to provide for us, and he can provide for us wonderfully, even in the midst of our enemies. Well, preacher, why would you say that? Because I've read what the Lord did in providing for his people when they were in Egypt. He provided for them the land of Goshen. They were shepherds. Shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. And so they were put over here in the land of Goshen, which had rich pastures, which was full of God's provision for his people even while they were down in Egypt. And then when it came time for them to leave Egypt, what did he provide for them then? A land that flowed with milk and honey. There was enemies all around about them. And yet God provided for his people. And so from the very beginning of the Bible, when God made the man and the woman and put them in that garden, and I just have to believe that that garden was lush and beautiful and full of God's provisions. But that's a picture of what God provides for us. And all through the scriptures, God was providing for his people. He can take care of us in the midst of our enemies. Remember in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was told to tell the people to, when they were carried away into captivity, to build houses, to let your sons marry wives and your daughters to marry husbands, have children, you know, be increased and not diminished. You know, seek the peace of the city and pray for it. Those were not God, you know, those were not the kind of people we typically think about praying for. But the Lord told them that in that peace, you'll find peace. In their peace, you shall find peace. And that should be what we remember as we think about the Lord preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that we can live in this life. There may not be a person that we would choose to be in the White House, but that doesn't, God will take care of us. He can take care of us. And guess what? He is taking care of us. He's, you know, there's a lot of things about things in high places today that can cause you to be very concerned. But God is able. And He is providing for us. He is watching over us. He is taking care of us. He does love us tremendously. What rest, blessings of rest and peace and confidence to restore us and strengthen us each day. Anointest my head with oil. You know, when someone was anointed, like when David was anointed to be the next king, he was set apart, consecrated. And every time we feel like the Lord has blessed us, that should be a reminder to us. We're one of His chosen people. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. He's set us apart as His special treasure. Oh, what a blessing. Yeah. My cup runneth over. Sounds like more than we need. But isn't that the way the Lord blesses? You know, His measure is pressed down, shaken, and running over. How many times in your life have you had a particular need and you've prayed for the Lord to bless, and whether it was exactly what you asked for or whether it was even better, God quite often blesses us with even more than we need. Oh, as we think about. Now, speaking about our cup running over, that's when the joy is just gushing forth. And we're thanking Him for His blessing. That we're rejoicing in the fact that He's had mercy upon us and He's provided for our needs. Now that might happen quite often when we're looking for a particular thing. But listen, when we just stop and think about His daily provisions, to think about the blessings that He gives us on a daily basis, blessings of knowing who He is and what He's done for us. I mean, that's with you all the time. And there's always, always reason for us to thank the Lord for His mercy and His provisions upon us. Our cup runneth over. You know, when David said He daily loadeth us with benefits? Yeah. And when we stop and think about all that He has done for us, count our blessings, look at the mercy that He's bestowed upon us, yeah, our cup runs over. He giveth more grace, James said. Surely, goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us. Follow me. Now, that tells us that we've already, because of what we've experienced in the past, because his goodness and mercy has been with us in the past, and that he still loves us. As a matter of fact, he loves us for Christ's sake. You see, that fellowship that we have when we're walking with him and closely with him, you know, fellowship is something that if we get distracted and we get out of the way, that fellowship is disturbed, but the relationship is still there. What Christ has done for us can never be removed. So when we understand those things, when we look back and see how God's been with us all along the way, we can say with David, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. It'll continue with us because God is so good. He watches over us. He helps us. He blesses us. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Not just know something about it. Not just be there from time to time, but to dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, what a blessing it is when we just take time to rejoice in the Lord. Take time to remember his goodness and his mercy. To dwell upon it. You know, didn't Jesus teach us in John 15? You know, there's three words in that chapter that we find over and over. Abide, remain, and continue. Continue in his word, abide in him. You know, abiding in him, that takes some time, doesn't it? To think about his goodness and mercy. Think about his love for us. Think about, you know, to abide is to stay. Whether it's to stay in line or stay in the way or just taking time to meditate upon his word and his goodness and mercy, all those kinds of things. It refuels our love for him. So as we think about, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This world's not forever. Was that Aunt Doris used to say, we're not made to stay here always? Something like that. But God is forever. God is forever. And bless your hearts, what he has done for us, we'll be blessed by his grace to be with him forever. Do you ever stop and think about what that's going to be like? You know, we can muse about it. We can try to think about just what it's going to be like in heaven. I'm sure we all, from time to time, just wonder just how all that's going to be. Perhaps we're not told a whole lot about what it's going to be like because we might spend too much time and energy and affection on thinking about being in that glorious place. Because the glory of that place is the Lord, the one that loved us, the one that sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins, the giver of the gifts, the one that prepared that place from the foundation of the world, the one that chose us to be with him in glory. That'll be heaven. But we're blessed to understand it'll be for all the redeemed family of God. And that's an added blessing. And so there, what little bit we do know about heaven is beyond what we can imagine. His love will be the same. We'll have a better appreciation, a better understanding. There'll be no end. There'll be no sorrows, no heartaches. And I dwell on that a little bit because the psalm ends saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For every blood-bought, heaven-born child of God, heaven is our home. We will be there because he's going to take us there. And that's our hope. That's what we look forward to. But the more we can appreciate that now, the more we thank him for it. The more we meditate upon the surety of it, the beauty of it, the sweetness of it, the more we abide in it now, the more we can enjoy this life right now. We don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to be there or whether or not, you know, I mean, Jesus has finished that work. Heaven will be our home. What he calls upon us to do is to enjoy this life. How did Solomon put it? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. You know, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Remember that he's our shepherd every day. Rejoice that it's the Lord that's our shepherd every day. Abide in him. Thank him for his provisions. Thank him for the safety we have in him. Thank him for all the blessings that we receive from his endless supplies of grace and mercy. Oh, may God help us to rejoice in the fact that he is our shepherd. Can't be a better shepherd. Who would want another shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. You know, the New Testament speaks of how he's the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said of himself, I'm the good shepherd. Hebrews talks about, Hebrews says the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he speaks of when the chief shepherd shall, and all of these referring to the Lord, but you know, the sweetest one of all to us is the fact that he's my shepherd. My shepherd. I shall not want. May God help us to rejoice in that precious truth each day. May God bless you, is our prayer.